And we are back, Stripe Show Podcast. I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for making us part of your day. I kind of missed that song. You know, we were, hold on a second here. I got to put something up here on my computer that just fell off. There we go. All right, now I'm ready. I missed that song right there. We weren't live last week. A little week off, but we're back at it this week. A little different. It's the President's Cup. And our man, he's coming to you live from Montreal, Mr. Keith Stewart. How you doing, buddy?
I am doing well. I don't know if you noticed, but when I did the pod a couple weeks ago, I did the intro just like you do, and we're back, right?
Yeah, I noticed that. Thank you, and you did a great job. So we appreciate it.
It's fun to always talk to this audience. I love doing it, but I was wondering if you pick up on that, and I was having some fun, but. You know, it's good to have the drums back playing and, yeah. Hey, you know, you're going to need a serious war cry up here in Canada for this international side because the USA is stacked. So, where do you want to take this conversation today?
Well, I've got some ideas. You know, I like to listen to some other podcasts and see what they have to say. And we're going to take a little different angle here today. Okay. We're going to build a case for how, Mike Weir, and his Canadians and his team are going to build something here that's going to shock the world right now. Before we get too deep into the weeds here, yeah. It's not like they haven't been close, you know, over the last two President's Cup, you know, on the road, right? They've been right there within one or two points. So it's not like we're, you know, a major underdog, which kind of leads the show off here. I got to get a couple things off my chest here. I don't know if you watched that football game last night, you know, the Jaguars and the Bills. Now, look, I'm not a big Jags fan. You know, I grew up in the Pacific Northwest. People that follow me know I'm a huge Seattle sports fan. That's team number one and always will be. But I've lived here in Jacksonville for 20 plus years. And so you want, you know, your local team to do well. And whatever that was last night, I don't know if you got to watch that, any of that. Whatever that was last night, you know, down 31-3 at half or whatever it was. Look, that was a complete embarrassment, right? Now, we might get a route like that. You know, the U.S. could put it on the international team, and I think everyone would probably understand that. But in the NFL, when the entire league is built on parity and you run that out there after paying your quarterback $50-plus million and the money that they spent in free agency and this urgency to win now, and you're kind of one of the favorites to win the AFC South, and you go out there and you get boat raced. I mean, Keith.
Like, you're going deep here.
Keith, it wasn't even competitive, like at all. Competitive at all. That is hard to do in the NFL. Jacksonville, I mean, from top to bottom, you have some self-reflection to do because whatever you're doing to this point, 0-3 is not working. And not only are you losing, but you're getting embarrassed. So I just had to get that off the chest. We have a lot of local people that listen to it. Action News, they run my simulcast on their platform, which we appreciate. And so hopefully, you know, some of my students that I teach, you know, that are associated to the Jags, some of the players.
Yeah.
Man, that was ugly. That was embarrassing. You watch it?
Well, no. I am a Washington football team fan, so I
well,
was.
Well, there you go. You're happy.
My attention. Happy is a relative term, Travis. Okay. It's been a while, you know. The President's Cup is 30 years old, right? Started in 1994, and our last Super Bowl was in 1992. And I don't know how we got on this football tangent, but I'll say this much: hopefully, the PGA Tour, which is headquartered in Jacksonville, is not following the same blueprint this week that the Jags followed last night.
No.
And coach and Captain Furyk and the U.S. side is better prepared and comes in with a little bit better game plan than they did because, I'll just say that and we can move on.
Well, I mean, Furyk's happy. He's a diehard Steeler fan. They're 3-0. There's only a handful of teams that are 3-0, and one of them, oh, dare I say, and we'll get off the football tangent after this, but one of the 3-0 teams are, dare I say, those Seahawks, baby, they are on their way back. Our young coach is coaching them up. We're 3-0, and we'll be on next Monday night at Detroit. All right, enough with that. Let's get to Canada. Let's get to Montreal. That's where you're at.
Yep.
And I know we have a lot of people tuning in because, you know, you're on site a lot, and we appreciate that, covering this in great detail. And I have a question here to start the conversation about the President's Cup, and it has to do with Royal Montreal, the golf course. Keith, to me, in my mind, I want to position the question this way. In my mind, when I think of the Ryder Cup, the USA versus Europe, I think that both sides put a lot of time into what course they're going to play, how they're going to set it up. There seems that there is a big difference in the way golf is played in Europe versus the way that golf is played in the United States and those types of players. We've seen it play out in France, which was a huge advantage. We've seen it play out Whistling Straits in the way that, in the way that the USA set it up there. Is it the same in the President's Cup? I mean, with these international players, is there that much of an advantage when you look at Royal Montreal? Because from what I've seen and listening to Brandel and Rich, you know, last night on the Golf Channel, like, this is a pretty long course. It's tree lined. There's some rough, but it's not. It just doesn't feel like it's the same advantage that the international team is going to gain like the Europeans would.
Well, I would look at it this way. Royal Montreal Golf Club, very cool fact about this place. It is the oldest golf club established in North America, the continent. Mm. So older than any course in the United States, 1873, okay, which is pretty cool. But this is the second time we've been here for the President's Cup. We're here in 2007. And we're now here on the 30th anniversary of the President's Cup, which started in 1994. It's 2024. And I look back to that 2007 President's Cup in a couple different ways. Number one, the U.S. won by five. But I look at the top performers and the guys on the U.S. side. You know, you had Tiger. You had Phil. I mean, this was 2007. You had Tiger in his heyday. I mean, 07, 08 Tiger is one of the best Tigers ever, right? But the leading point getter on the U.S. side was David Toms at 4.5 points. And the second leading point getter on the U.S. team was Scott Merplank. Over on the international side, it was Mike Weir and Ernie Els. Now, you think about those four golfers. Those were very positional, accurate style players when they were playing well, right? Royal Montreal has hosted a ton of, I think it's the second most popular Canadian Open host over the years of the 100-plus years that event's been going on. And, you know, since they've hosted it here at Royal Montreal, you know, Royal Montreal's moved a couple times, but the site we're on right now is a Dick Wilson golf course designed in 1959, redo of Reese Jones in the early 2000s, right before that President's Cup. But basically, when the Canadian Open's been here, your winners have been Tim Clark. It's been Scott Verplank again. Yep. It's been Steve Jones in 97, the year he won the U.S. Open. So I think that they have a good venue, and to answer your question, it looks like the rough is up, and you're going to have to favor accuracy over power. That's to answer your question. I want to take it one step further.
Okay.
The U.S. is more accurate off the tee and on approach than the international side, so I'm not sure. Certainly, it might impede the U.S.'s advantage in length, but when you look at the numbers and you look inside of them, we're actually more accurate than them, so I'm not sure how much of a home field advantage it actually is.
Wait, it can't be bomb and gouge, right? We're not facing that. Like that, look, if they hit it in the rough off the tee, it's penal, right? Enough where like they're not just being able to gouge it out of there and get it in the middle of the green and still have a reasonable putt for a birdie. There's got to be, you got to penalize the Americans off the tee and try to neutralize a little bit of that length. But to your point, I mean, you know, Scottie Scheffler and Xander Schauffele, which, you know, are the two best players in the world. They can keep the ball in play right off the tee. They're long and they're pretty darn accurate as well. So you make a valid point. Yeah, they're more accurate off the tee, better iron players. And we'll get into each player here momentarily. But is there anything else that would stand out that would say, okay, that makes sense? That, to your point, the people that have played well here in the previous President's Cup and previous Canadian Opens are a bit of a plotter, right? Maybe position to position.
I mean, honestly, the international side is built more for four ball. I look at guys like Min Woo Lee. I look at guys like Mac Hughes. I look at, you know, these Mac Hughes is not a foursomes player. he's like Sam Burns. I mean, he's a birdie machine. He's going to make a ton of putts.
And statistically, of the 24, he's at the bottom when it comes to his driving and his irons.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at iron play. I mean, Minwoo Lee is just not a strong strokes gained approach. He's a top 10 driver of the golf ball in the world, and I think that's great. But at some point, all of this becomes a second shot golf course. It's a par 70 golf course. You're only getting two par fives. A lot of the advantage that the international team faces is that they're better in par five scoring than the Americans. Well, mm-hmm. that just proves the fact that the Americans are better at par 70 scoring. And with the last five holes having the opportunity to have so much theater, and the Canadian crowd is going to absolutely show up, right?
Sure.
I think that you've got to do whatever you can, whether it's with the setup or it's the design of your pairings. If you're Captain Mike Weir, you need to get as many holes played as possible. And I know that mm-hmm. sounds obvious, but you need to have the American side, especially the two big guys at the top, play to the 17th and 18th hole. Now, the last five holes here have water in play, and it's going to be truly electric if we get deep matches. What happens with all that can take place on this golf course? And you can tell why they come back, because it is an absolutely super entertaining setting mm-hmm. for match
cool.
play. Captain Mike Weir's message this week has got to be like, boys, take a lot of pitches, right? We got to get to their pitchers early. Like, we got to get as many mm-hmm. holes as we can out of these guys. And if they do, then you start to see a strategy or a path to how they can keep this thing close going into Sunday. And then who knows? All bets are off, because the Canadian crowd has been fantastic so far.
And it needs to be noted that the international team has fared pretty well, you know, from a single standpoint.
Yes.
Historically. So to your point, you get to Sunday, you start getting to those last five holes. All right. Anything can happen. I mentioned earlier the last two road games for the Americans have been close. You go back to 2015, Korea, 15.5 to 14.5. That was incredible. 2019, Australia was 16 to 14. Yeah. So look, they're right there. They really are. I can see a path. I can see a path where the international team can pull this thing off. Now, I'm an American, and I want the USA team to win. But I'm excited about this one. I really am. You know, I've been kind of down a little bit this year, you know, with professional golf and everything that's happening. I'm exhausted, like apparently thousands and thousands of viewers are. I mean, the ratings have not been good. And so I'm excited for this week, because it's a team format. It's a little bit different. I think the guys are going to be engaged. I think the Americans know, look, we can't just fake this. Like, we got to come out and play. It has been close on international soil the last two times. So, I'm pretty confident that this is going to be a competitive situation. And I would not be surprised if the international team wins. So let's build a case. All right. Let's build a case, because I've been thinking about this a lot the last couple of days. I've been watching a lot of the coverage, been listening to podcasts and, you know, making my notes and obviously understanding these 24 players. We're not going to go through all 24 players. You guys know who's in. If you don't know by now, go online, Google it. President's Cup.
Yeah.
Teams. Yeah. I do want to mention the format, though, because it is a little bit different. So real quick, you know, because they
format's
do start
great.
On Thursday. Yeah, the format's great. Yeah. So real quick, they do start on Thursday. And they go four ball out of the gate, which is a best ball, right? Let's just clarify that for my brain, because I get hung up on this. It's five matches. Friday, foursomes. That's alternate shot, five matches. Saturday in the morning, four ball again. That's best ball, four matches.
Yep.
And then in the afternoon, they go back to foursomes. That's alternate shot, four matches. And then, of course, like the Ryder Cup, they come back on Sunday and they go 12 single matches. So a little bit different. This has kind of changed throughout, really, and has been fluid over the last 20 years. I can remember at one point there were like six matches, I think, in four.
Oh, months. Yeah. Yeah, the first 2 days, they made everybody play.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the really good things about this is that those first 2 days, only two guys sit, right? So 10 of the 12 players on each side are going. And I think that is a great differentiating point for the President's Cup. And really, truly the best part about it all is when the captains sit in and do the pairings, they do it like your fantasy football draft. It's like, I know who you pick, and then I can counter with somebody. And it's unbelievable on Saturday night when they do it for the singles on Sunday, because you get the matchups you want. You know, you can create as much hype as you want around the event. And that's a big part about building the path, is that Captain Mike Weir has to have matchups he thinks can beat the best players in the world, which are on the American side. The American side has five guys in the top 10 in the world rankings. They have 10 guys in the top 20. You know, their average world ranking is 12, and the average world ranking on the other side is 34. Yeah. So it's really kind of key that he and his vice captains have to have an answer for, if they do it, and I'll get into this in a second, but like for Xander and Patrick, they have to have an answer for that. In four ball, they have to have an answer for Scotty and Sam Burns, because that's what's coming. Who's gonna? Who are you gonna go after? Do you put the lambs out to slaughter there, and do you put one of your weaker teams, or do you go with one of your stronger teams? Let's say it's Im and Kim, Tom Kim and Sung J-M, or Siwoo Kim and Sung J-M. It's one of those guys, right? Like, do you send them in, you know, into the Coliseum and have them to go against the number one player in the world who's won seven times a gold medal and $65 million or whatever? You know, it's very interesting, and Weir really has to pay attention to how he's pairing these things and who he thinks can take care of business.
Okay, so Mike Weir, if you're listening, here's what you need to do, all right? Here's what you need to do, because we're going to build a case for the international team. And I'm going to start, Keith. I'm going to start. Number one.
Go for it.
Okay, number one, these three players that I'm going to mention have to show up. They have to show up and not just play good, but they got to play great. Okay, they've got to be the leaders. They've got to be the best players on the team, which statistically, historically, they are. And you probably know the names I'm going to mention. Number one is Adam Scott, who is playing some great golf. He just finished fourth in the Tour Championship. I've got Sam Hahn, the CEO of Lab Putters, coming on tomorrow on the podcast. And my God, Adam Scott right now is putting terrific right now. I mean, he is really rolling the rock. So Adam Scott, who currently, this is 11th appearance in the President's Cup, he's 18-25-6. The only person that's won more matches than Adam Scott is Phil Mickelson, who should be the captain this week, but that's neither here or there. We'll talk about a whole other discussion. 18-25-6 is Adam Scott's career. Now, he's number one. Number two is Hideki Matsuyama, who just won the FedEx State, the first leg, right? So Hideki, 7-10-5 in the President's Cup. And I'll say the third is Sung J-M, who has a winning record. He's 5-3-2. So Adam Scott, Hideki, and Sung J-M, those are the three guys to me that are the three best players on this team. Those three, Keith, have to be great. Not good, but they have to be great. They have to come out, and they have to your point, they're going to have to take on the big boys, right? Because in my mind, what I think we're going to see, all right, what I think we're going to see, we know we're going to, I think we're going to see Scheffler Burns number one. Okay. Scheffler Burns number one. I want Adam Scott, and I'm going to throw a fourth name in there that I think you could probably put into that group. And I think Adam Scott's going to play with Jason Day. Okay. Who I know that that's probably not statistically makes the most sense, but I think, you know, the two Aussies, Adam Scott, Jason Day against Scheffler and Burns, and then you got Xander and Cantlay, and they're going to take on Hideki and Sungjae, right? That's the way that I see it in my head. So Jason Day could be that fourth guy that you know, look, has some experience. He's a winner on the PGA Tour, major champ, you know, all these things, right? He's checked a lot of boxes. He's got to be in that group of four. I'm going to put Jason Day. I'm just going to make that decision right now. Mike Weir, put Jason Day in there. Let him know that he needs to be great. Not good, great. Okay?
Okay.
Because those four guys, they need to take on those four, and they need to neutralize them. If not, they need to come out on top. All right? So that's number one. Those guys, you can't be going out there with a losing record collectively. You've got to win and set the tone as the best players on the team.
I get the first three. I don't get Jason Day. Tom Kim was the emotional leader. I take Jason Day out. You got to put Tom Kimmins in there.
Okay.
You know, he's he wants to be the emotional leader of this side.
Okay. Fair enough.
You know, and those guys, they have to play five matches, right? So guys, get your rest. You're going to play five matches and you have to play very well. So yes, I agree with that. For Captain Weir to win, his four best players have to play five times and they have to earn, those four guys have to earn on average 3 to 3.5 points each. And if they do that, they're going to be in the low teens and then they'll need some contributions. I think the second step.
Okay.
And this might be more important than those four guys showing up.
Yep.
It is the three Canadians as a whole have to completely show up.
Love it.
They have got, because they are going to be the spark that makes this crowd a factor. Now, you talk about your passion all the time for the Seahawks. What do they always say up there is the biggest deal about playing the 12th man, right?
It's a crowd. Well, absolutely.
In this case, it's the 13th man, right? But this crowd in Canada always shows up for the Canadian Open.
Mm-hmm.
People go absolutely insane for that event, right? They get their one PGA Tour event a year, and it's always well-attended. And Canada has to go absolutely ballistic in this thing and keep it close. And they have to fuel those Canadians and not pressure them, right? Because if you look at the record, Connors has been once 0-4-0 in Charlotte. Pendrith has been once 0-4-0 in Charlotte, right? Mac Hughes, rookie. So, like, we need those guys. I mean, Corey's got to be the man. I mean, he's got to get up there and be what Mike Weir was in 2007. He has got to play five matches. He's got to get himself 3.5 to 4 points. He's got to be super relevant the whole time. He's got to roll the rock well. I mean, that to me is almost because like going in, if we went on the American side, we'd say, well, you know what? The top three have to get us like 12 points. So that's what Collins, Xander, and Scotty. Okay, well, if you play them five times, Jim, right, you'll probably get that, right? But, like, on the other side, yes, I know about Hideki and everything, but those three Canadians are so vital to what's going on here. And if you're going to build a path, those guys, they are literally the plow on the front of the locomotive,
Well, I think I agree with that 100%, and that was my number two. And we didn't compare notes, folks. I mean, if you could show you my notes, number two for me is that Canadian momentum, right? And getting the crowd, because this crowd is just going to want to go ballistic for these three. And I'll tell you the thing to note here, and this will lead me to the question at the end. So we know Connors can struggle putting.
Yeah.
But the other two don't. Okay. I mean, Mackenzie Hughes is one of the best putters in the 24 here. Now, Mackenzie Hughes has his struggles, you know, from off the tee and in irons at times. Pendrith can putt. Okay. Yeah. So I can see a scenario where those two start filling it up, right? And all of a sudden you get some mojo. Now, can Connors make enough? Which leads me to the question about the greens. What is the contour of the greens like? What are we looking? What are we looking at with the green complexes? Do we have a lot of slope? Is there any comps?
Definitely. These are some silly surfaces, right? Okay. Now, this is originally a Dick Wilson design. Dick Wilson, you know, he did Bay Hill. You know, it's definitely a situation. He did the Blue Monster down at Doral. A number of places here on the East Coast, whether it be in Florida or in the Northeast. My home course in New Jersey is a Dick Wilson design, and he made very difficult greens to putt. And, you know, I think that Weir feels like he has an advantage with the flat stick. And statistically, I'm not sure if that's true, but if you're going to roll out Pendrith and Hughes a bunch, you're going to have an advantage in that twosome, right?
In putting, yeah.
In putting, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Right. And they'd be a great four ball partnership. I would not put Mackenzie Hughes with anybody in foursomes unless I didn't like them. Right. Like, so, you know, that's your opportunity there. And I think that putting is going to be, I know this is going to sound, you know, super obvious, but, Royal Montreal is difficult to putt, to answer your question. There's a lot of slopes to these greens. There's a lot of nooks and crannies. There's a lot of subtleties. And the better putting team will certainly give themselves a huge advantage this week.
Okay. If you're like most golfers, you blame yourself when you miss a short putt. So after you hold back the urge to throw your putter in the lake, don't do that. You try to fix your putting stroke. But how long does that last? 1 week, one round, one hole? There's a company called Lab Golf that doesn't think you should be blaming yourself. That's because all putters have this thing called torque, which means the putter face is trying to twist during stroke. So you grip it like a snake. What Lab Golf did is they figured out how to make putters with no torque. They call it lie angle balance. And you have to feel it to believe it. I did. The Lab Golf putter, you don't have to use a funny putting grip to try to keep the face square. You can putt it any way you want because Lab Golf putter stays perfectly square by itself. It's effortless. To see how much easier putting can be, head over to labgolf.com. All right, so let's go back to the pairing a second with the Canadians, because I said Adam Scott, Jason Day. You corrected me and said, no, let's put Tom Kim in there. I think we both agree on Hideki and him.
I would put Hideki with Adam, and I would put Kim with him.
Oh, you would? Okay.
Or I might put Kim and Jim together, and I might put Sungjae with somebody else.
Well, now, wait a minute.
Yeah.
So you got to have two. There's no Canadian teams, and where are you going to go with the Canadian team? Are you going to go – do you go Pendrith-Hughes? Do you go both putters together?
In four ball, I would not put them out in foursomes, either one of them.
No. I'm talking – yeah, right. I'm talking Thursday morning, I'm talking four ball.
Yeah.
I'm talking four ball. So Pendrith and Hughes, we agree together on Thursday morning.
I honestly would put them out first.
Okay. Yeah.
I would set the tone. And wow. I would tell those guys, I would honestly, if I was Captain Mike Weir, I would grab my three native countrymen and I would say, guys, this is gonna be the toughest week of your life.
Yeah.
And you can either embrace it or you could tell me you don't want a part of it. But if you embrace it, you go, I would say Taylor and McKenzie, you go first on Thursday.
Oh.
Right? And then I would back it up with my powerhouse teams, right? But that mm-hmm. would absolutely make the roof come off the first tee. It would start on Wednesday evening with the pairings. If I'm on the American side, hopefully we don't get Furyk from France. I mean, that's one of your paths. You know, if Furyk follows the model he used in France, then certainly the international side is going to keep it close. But I just put Xander and Cantlay out. Every team match, I put them out first. And every team match, I put Scotty out last. And that's what I'm doing. And in between, there are different things I can do. But, like, you set the tone with your best team. I mean, Xander and Patrick have played in two of these things. They're 6-3.
Yeah.
Right? There's only three guys with a winning record of the 12 on the international side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Seabez, Siwoo, and Sungjae. So, like, I mean, if we're just talking about Thursday, I go Canadians, and then I go with my powerhouses and figure it out from there.
All right. I agree with that, and I think it fits the narrative that we're building here, right? We talk about the top three, Adam Scott, Hideki, and Sungjae, and then, all right, let's add Tom Kim in there. I was thinking a little more of the experienced leader in Jason Day, that I need something from him. But we agree in the Canadian momentum in these three and getting them out early, if they can establish that point. Wow. I mean, you know, now all of a sudden that momentum, the 12th man, as you mentioned up in Seattle, the 13th man now in golf in Montreal, it's real, man. It's real momentum.
Oh, it's real.
You can ride on that. So, all right, here, let's go to a third point.
All right.
And the third point to me is there's a wild card. All right. There's something that we're not thinking about right now that could come to fruition where all of a sudden this player wins four matches, right? Or 4 points, right? This guy didn't see that coming. And for the international team to win, there's going to have to be someone that we're not thinking about that just comes out in three and a half, 4 points. That's what it's going to take. And when you look at him statistically, he's probably way down there in the 24, but there's something about this young man. We've seen him. He can rise to the occasion. I think he's a bit of a showman. And I think he can elevate himself. He can elevate his game. And it's almost like he's been made for moments like this. We saw it emotionally with Tom Kim in the past. I think we could potentially see it with Minwoo Lee. Well, now, Tom Kim's a better player than Minwoo Lee. I get that.
Yeah.
But have we not seen it with Minwoo? Is Minwoo not a showman? Is Minwoo not someone who can take the bit and run with it a little bit? No.
Is Minwoo not statistically the worst approach player? Well, I know.
I know. I get it. But we're talking about building a case here. Yeah. For the internationals to win. So something out of the ordinary has to happen. Something has to happen where that's the wild card. There's a wild card where I didn't see that coming and that player winning 3 to 4 points.
Yeah. He would be, that would definitely,
he's the number one driver in the field. The guy can drive it. Okay. He's going to play. He can hit his driver. Now, statistically, the rest of it, all right.
Did we happen to mention that there's only two par fives? It's a par 70 golf course. And if we're not going to do bomb and gouge for the Americans, then aren't we taking away his number one superpower?
His putter has been a little chilly. So you go back to when, Minwoo was finishing fifth at the U.S. Open, right? You go back to when Minwoo was sixth at the Players. You go back to those moments. You go back to when he was second at Rocket Mortgage earlier this year. The putter was working, right? The putter was working. And it wasn't just working. It was like plus five, plus seven, right? The mojo. He can take the bit and run with it. Those are some big platforms where he elevates his game at the Players, at the U.S. Open, at the President's Cup. So, look, if the putter wakes up, I think Minwoo can ride it. He's my wild card if the internationals have a chance.
Good luck.
All right.
I think that Minwoo would be a great partner for Jason Day and Formal. I think that they could be electric together. I think that in a lot of ways, Jason Day can pass along to Minwoo for next generation international team side player, like a lot of what they do, a lot of what Luke Donald tried to do in Rome, bringing on Aubert, bringing on Hogard, bringing on, Bobby Mack, and like saying like, hey, you're going to play with some of these older guys. You're going to hang out with these older guys in the pods and everything. I see J Day and Minwoo Lee. You're going to need J Day to step up and Adam to step up and whoever gets put with, there's an opportunity there. It's a stretch, on his game. But the kid likes action. There's no doubt.
He does.
He loves it. I mean, not everybody likes the heat. We're going to find out who likes the heat this week.
Well, that's just it. And so that's just it, right? This is a different kind of heat. And it's going to hit you differently. And which way do you go? I think Minwoo elevates. And so I think he elevates. We've seen it. All of a sudden, there he is. He's going to win the Players. What? All of a sudden, there he is. U.S. Open. What?
Yeah.
And he's like, and he's just feeding it. You can see it. It's like, more, give me more, give me more. And I don't know, man. I think emotionally I could see him running around, Tom Kim running around, put those two together. If I had to have an entertainment pairing of two guys playing great, put Kim and Minwoo together. I want to see those two going ballistic. That would be phenomenal. That would be unbelievable. Cook, right? If those two could cook together, it'd be unbelievable with the Canadians up top. All right. So there's my case. I built it for you. I missed anything?
Well, you'd have any more points to the case?
No, that's it. That's all I got. That's it. That's all it's going to take. The rest of them can just, not show up.
I would add two things to that. Number one, I would say that you need the Americans to act like the usual American side and that we don't really pay attention to analytics and we just act like we're going to win and things get close and it gets a little crowded with that Canadian audience on Sunday. It gets a little bit claustrophobic around here. You look at the way that we manage that team, even from captain's picks to everything that we did in France, we have the same leader. Hopefully he has learned from that. That will be significant. I mentioned this earlier, Scotty, Xander, Patrick and Colin, they've got to play five times. Don't take chances. Don't let this thing get around to Sunday. Go back to Liberty National. Just absolutely line them up. Yeah. You know what I mean? And this is not a participation contest. I don't care if you're the 12th man in. I don't care if you're Max Homa and you're 7-1-1 in two team appearances, right? Like, you're not going to see foursomes because you can't drive the ball. And you'll get one four ball match, you get one singles match, and that's the story. But these other guys, we have got to truck them out there and really set the tone. And we're deeper than them, and we gotta lean on that.
Do you think Jim has a hard time having that conversation with Max Homa and others?
No. That's a great question. I still think no. As long as if our stars are only playing four matches like we did in Rome, I mean, what are we doing?
Right.
What are we doing?
No, I agree. I agree.
And, you know, to add to your path, if we continue to think that way, then I think that there's an opportunity for this thing to get close. And then with five holes, all with water on the final five holes of this golf course, come Sunday afternoon, I would not want to be in one of those last four singles matches if this thing was still up in the air.
Yeah.
Right. And at that point, the international side is going to be fueled beyond compare because that's everything they're talking about in their room. You know, I mentioned this early briefly, but like, the other thing that they have to do is they have to get as many holes as they can. Hmm. If there's a match that's out there, let's say it's Hideki and Adam versus Patrick and Xander, right? And they're four down at the turn or something like that. Just get to the 17th hole. Mm-hmm. Get as many holes played as much as you can. Play as much golf as you can this weekend. Guys, you're going to be tired. I'm sorry about that, Captain Mike Weir. But you know what? Here's the story, dude. Like, you have to be able to do that. And if they do, the longer they play golf, the more it favors the home side by far. So if the American side doesn't just absolutely try to play to win in their pairings and they worry about things like fatigue and everything else, and you get extra holes out in every single match, you just keep squeezing holes out and there's more crowd influence. I think that those two, along with the three you had, I might disagree about the wild card guy, but yeah, a guy like a Minwoo Lee or a guy like Siwoo Kim or Mac Hughes, two or three of those guys really have to step up and get 2.5 to 3 points. And if they do, those five things happen. There's a path. There's definitely a path, especially on the road.
Yeah, fun fact for you. So Scheffler hasn't won a President's Cup match, has he? He's got two ties.
He's got two ties.
Yeah, I think he's
0-3-1.
No, he's got one tie. Yeah, he's 0-3-1.
Yeah.
And Burns only has
0-3-2,
and he had the one. He's won one match in the Ryder Cup. He won the.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it's not like. I mean, Scheffler and Clark, or it's not like Scheffler and Burns are an exact team juggernaut. You know, going out there at they're probably going to be together now.
You can't put Burns out in foursomes with him. Scotty needs a four ball partner.
So who do you put with Scotty?
Well, just in four ball he plays with Sam, but in foursomes you've got to give him somebody like a Tony Finau or a Russell Henley or a Brian Harman or somebody like that. It's a good foursomes player. You have to give him one of those guys.
Agreed.
And you need to do the same thing with Colin. Like Colin, I would go the DJ route. It was always very interesting to me that Colin played so well with DJ. DJ's their two games have no, they're not alike at all, but they were great partners together. Mm. So like when it comes to foursomes, I would put Colin with Tony. When it comes to four ball, I would put Colin with Wyndham. Right?
That's exactly what I wrote down.
And that works for me. And now I've got Colin figured out for five matches. Mm-hmm. I've got Xander and Patrick figured out for five matches, and I've got Scotty figured out for three, and I'm not quite sure where he's going to go for foursomes, but I surely hope it's not Sam Burns after what we saw in Rome. And what we know about Sam Burns' game is that he's not going to hit enough fairways on this golf course to allow Scotty to use his superpower, which is he's the best iron player in the world, hands down.
Yep.
Right?
Agreed.
Since that guy was crying in Rome, he's won like 100 times the gold medal, a zillion dollars, you know, like just, you want to talk about, let him cook, let Scotty cook, give him a guy to cook with. Right.
So this takes us now deeper into the team with Thagala, you know, so Thagala plays with who, like who do you put Thagala with? Is he a Keegan Bradley?
Well, Diala's a good four ball guy.
Yeah.
Right. So you got to get Max out there at some point. Two Cali guys might be a good mix.
So you think potentially Thigala and Max could be that fifth team on Thursday morning?
Not on Thursday, no.
On Friday morning in foursomes.
No.
Do you want them in Thursday's four ball? That's best ball.
Correct. Yep. Right. Always think of it this way, Travis. When they say four ball, there's four balls in play.
I know. So that's best ball. So you got you want Thigala with
Homa in four ball, but I would not do that on day one.
You wouldn't do it on day one. You would do it on Saturday morning.
Max is our weak. No, it would be Saturday morning. Max is our weakest player, and he should play Saturday and Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you like Thigala Thursday morning? As a fifth team potentially.
In four ball, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Get the rookie out there, sure.
Okay. Yeah, it feels like Thigala's got to play with the, you know, maybe in that fifth match on Thursday with, do you put him with Henley? Do you put him with Bradley? I mean,
Henley's a jack of all trades, so he could go both ways. Playing alternate shot and better ball. I might put Thigala with Bradley. It reminds me a lot of Phil and Bradley together, you know?
That's what I was thinking was Bradley. I could see Bradley and Thigala Thursday morning.
Yeah.
You know, and then obviously you got to see how these guys are playing and react and, you know, what are you going to do on Saturday morning and those kinds of things. So, you know, some of these things are going to change. And I think you bring up a really interesting point with Furyk. And I think, did Furyk learn in France? Are there more analytics involved here for him in making decisions? If you don't see, I think you make a really valid point. Your horses have got to play five times. You can't be messing around. You're going to have some difficult conversations. I think it starts with Max Homa. Like you said, yes, let's get you out Saturday morning, but you might need to get your pom-poms out Thursday, Friday, right? I mean, and that's just the way it is. There's some difficult conversations to be had. But if Furyk doesn't play his dogs and he doesn't, or his horses, five times and he doesn't handle Shuffler the right way and these kinds of things, I mean, oh my God, like what a, there's no way. There's no way. He's learned. Yeah. There's no way.
Honestly, those 5 points we brought up, which are the path for the international side, number one is the Canadians. Number two is the Furyk factor.
Okay.
Right? Then number three is the leaders of the international side have to lead with points. Right? Like those three things are the beginning to the end for the US.
And then the wild card, Minwoo jumping around, doing his thing with Tommy, and there you go.
Yep. And then fifth, you just play as many holes as you can. Yep. Just keep playing, keep putting the US side in front of the crowd. The crowd will be against them. And you know, that will help tremendously. It'll help tremendously. And, but there's definitely, the Americans have proven in the Ryder Cup and in the President's Cup that we could be our own worst enemy from the captaincy.
We can.
We've proven it.
I mean,
I mean, you look at the talent that went to Rome and we got rolled.
Oh,
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know, and everyone talks, oh, we're on the road and everything, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. You'll see a captain come to Bethpage and put a plan together that will actually work and keep that thing close. And you're looking at a team right here that is just absolutely again, 10 of the 12 guys are in the top 20 in the world. What are we doing, right? Put the best players on the field. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, like, to your point, oh, you know what? We're worried about Josh Allen week 17. So, you know, like, every other series in the fourth quarter, whether the game's close or not, we're going to pull them out.
Yeah.
Why would that ever happen?
Right.
In any other sport? Like, if winning really matters, you put your best players on the court and you go at it and you just have at it. And that's what I would do.
Mm-hmm. I agree. All right. There you go. We made the case. Hopefully Mike Weir was listening. Hopefully Jim Furyk was listening and he's going to be playing his horses out there. It's gonna be fascinating. I think it's gonna be close. We've seen it on international soil. I'm excited for the President's Cup. And it's a fun time of year. This is true team format. You can have the live stuff. I don't get it. You know, I'm probably too far along, you know, in age to kind of jump into something new and like really get an alliance. But, you know, in true team golf, this is, you know, the Ryder Cup obviously is a distant number one, but the President's Cup is fun. I think mean more if the international team could win another and another, right? They've only won this thing one time. So, I think for the spirit of the game and the competitive nature of this and it growing in popularity, the international needs to win some of these. And just very well, they might come out and they might just pull the upset off this weekend.
What I'll say to that in closing is that we don't remember this, but the U.S. won 23 of the first 25 Ryder Cups.
Yeah.
It took time get to the point that we're at today.
Yeah.
And what they're doing with the Shield and the international side, it's a challenge.
Yeah.
Travis, think about it. Okay. If they win this week, answer me this one question. If the international side wins this week, where do you put the trophy?
Canada.
I mean, you don't take it to Australia? This is part of the problem, right? And this is what the international side established about 10 years ago is that like we need some form of like bonding anchor.
Yeah.
Theme to our team, and they started with the Shield and the color story and all of these things, and that's been building up for about 10 years. And yes, they lose, but they're close when they're on the road.
Yeah.
And that, in my mind, as long as this is close, right? And we know Canada is going to show up. This is an unbelievable golf course. The PGA Tour, love them or hate them, they could run a golf tournament, right? Sure. The golf tournament will be fine, and we'll see what happens. You know, and we'll go from there. But I don't think they need to win. But making it entertaining, oh man, it'll be fun here on Sunday. Let me tell you something, it'll be fun.
Well, have a good time. Go spend some time in Montreal. Never been, but I heard it's a great city downtown. Lots to do, some unique things, good food. So enjoy it. Take some pictures, and we'll be back next week. I know we've got we go five more, and then a break, and then three. Right, so we got about eight events. Somewhere in there left here in the fall.
We got the chicken championship next week.
All right.
Let's do it. Sanderson Farms, baby.
Keith Stewart on site. We appreciate you, buddy.